What happens when America's charismatic first son and Britain's brooding prince collide, literally, into a $75,000 wedding cake? The world watches, cameras flash, and an international incident is born. But beneath the frosting and diplomatic damage control lies something neither Alex Claremont-Diaz nor Prince Henry expected. The beginning of a love story that would challenge two nations, rewrite political futures, and prove that sometimes the most revolutionary act is simply being yourself. Alex has spent years perfecting his public image as the effortlessly cool first son, part of the glamorous White House trio, alongside his sister June and friend Nora. Behind closed doors, though, he's a meticulous student with color-coded notes and congressional ambitions. Henry, meanwhile, appears to be everything Alex despises, a privileged prince who seems emotionally distant and perpetually disapproving. Their mutual disdain reaches its peak at a royal wedding when heated words and too much champagne send them tumbling backward into the centerpiece cake, creating a PR nightmare that demands immediate damage control. The solution? A meticulously staged weekend of fake friendship in England, complete with photo opportunities and a joint hospital visit. But something unexpected happens during their forced proximity. When security shoves them into a supply closet after mistaking fireworks for gunfire, they have their first genuine conversation. Henry reveals that his coldness at their first meeting, which Alex took as snobbery, came shortly after his father's death. They debate Star Wars, find common ground, and Alex leaves with Henry's personal number. Neither realizes this small gesture will unravel everything they thought they knew about each other and themselves. Late night texts evolve into genuine connection. When Alex calls Henry at 3 a.m., he discovers the prince watches baking shows, uses face masks, and named his dog after David Bowie, not the stuffy aristocrat he imagined. At the New Year's Eve gala, Henry arrives looking impossibly handsome. Alex teaches him to dance to early 2000s hip-hop, grabbing his hips while Henry looks horrified by the explicit lyrics. At midnight, after Alex kisses Nora, as tradition dictates, Henry watches with an unreadable expression before disappearing into the snowy garden. Alex follows. They share a drunken conversation about alternate lives. Henry admits he'd be a writer and date more freely. When Alex doesn't catch his hints, Henry kisses him, then immediately apologizes and flees. The kiss haunts Alex for weeks. Running with June, he realizes something profound. Straight people probably don't spend this much time convincing themselves they're straight. When he thinks about Henry's voice, his hands, those impossibly blue eyes, something ignites in his chest. The realization clarifies everything. Unable to avoid Henry at a state dinner, Alex corners him in the red room and kisses him against the wall. Henry responds with equal passion until Secret Service interrupts. Before parting, Alex demands Henry meet him in the east bedroom at 11, threatening a no-fly list otherwise. This begins their secret relationship, disguised as a public bromance. They steal moments across Paris and New York, exchanging weeks of messages discussing everything from policy to personal fears. Alex falls for the contrast between Henry's public persona and private self, how he passionately defends Dracula as essentially queer erotica, or rails against Britain's sanitization of historical queer figures. Henry reveals the painful constraints of royal life, where his grandmother frames hiding his sexuality as doing what must be done, rather than acknowledging it as lying. Their circle of confidants expands: Cash and Amy for security, Sean as Henry's aide, Nora, who smugly claims she knew all along, Bia, who discovers them during FaceTime, Pez, who's known for years, and June, whose acceptance brings profound relief. Despite this support, both struggle. Henry fears disappointing his family and country, while Alex worries about his political future in Texas. Their world shatters when surveillance footage from the Beekman Hotel surfaces. June posts a photo suggesting she and Henry are dating, a painful deflection that devastates Henry. He tells Alex he hates this charade and fears he'll never be allowed to be himself. Then the explosion. Headlines and photos of them kissing splash across newspapers worldwide, accompanied by their private emails, dubbed the Waterloo Letters. At the White House, the president asks one crucial question. Does Alex feel forever about Henry? When he confirms he does, she simply says, fuck it, ready to back her son despite the political consequences. At Kensington Palace, when Queen Mary suggests dismissing everything as technological manipulation, Henry insists it's real. Catherine, Henry's mother, opens the curtains to reveal massive crowds waving rainbow flags outside. Threatening to bring concerns about the Queen's competence to Parliament, Catherine forces her mother to accept the relationship. Evidence emerges that Senator Richards orchestrated the leak. With help from Senator Luna, who infiltrated Richards' campaign, the Claremont team transforms potential scandal into a powerful moment of truth. Alex delivers a watershed speech about his relationship with Henry, publicly embracing his bisexuality while drawing parallels to iconic American love stories, the same as Jack loved Jackie, the same as Bess loved Harry. His words, masterfully crafted by June, implore Americans to see beyond labels. The public response proves extraordinary. Supporters flood the National Mall wearing "History, huh?" t-shirts. Oscar Diaz emerges as an unexpected ally, forcefully defending the president against Richard's homophobic rhetoric. Election night unfolds like a thriller until Texas turns decisively blue, delivering President Claremont 301 electoral votes and a historic second term. Their future plans evolve unexpectedly. Henry establishes an LGBT rights foundation focusing on homeless queer youth, opening shelters across multiple continents. Alex takes the LSAT and considers NYU law, shifting from his predetermined political timeline to become a civil rights attorney, a future they're building together. Both men discover that history isn't just something that happens to us, it's something we actively create. Alex uncovers Alexander Hamilton's possibly romantic letters to John Lawrence, while Henry's knowledge of King James I and George Villiers reminds them that queer history has often been deliberately obscured. Their story becomes part of a continuum stretching back centuries, not an aberration, but a continuation. The night of Claremont's victory, Alex leads Henry through Austin's celebrating streets to his childhood home, using the key he's kept alongside Henry's ring, two symbols representing his roots and his future. At its heart, this story is about finding home in another person. Both men have complicated relationships with their literal homes. Alex splits time between the White House and Texas, while Henry lives in a palace that's both privilege and constraint, a golden cage offering security but demanding conformity. They've also created a chosen family that transcends blood ties and national boundaries. June, Nora, Bia, Pez, and others who support them unconditionally. What makes their story revolutionary isn't just that they fell in love. It's that they refuse to choose between love and duty, instead redefining what duty means. By choosing love, messy, complicated, inconvenient love, they proved that true service comes through authenticity rather than conformity, that leaders serve best when they bring their whole selves to their work.